It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Friday, March 8th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. Herring season is just around the corner, and this year, KCAW's herring coverage will look a little different. Reporter Catherine Rose is currently in Japan on a grant-funded reporting trip to investigate the journey of herring once it leaves Sitka. Rose, who has reported extensively on herring in Sitka, says the narrative usually ends when the herring leaves the island.
Many of those stories, you know, we'd end with a line. Well, you know, and once the herring is, you know, caught, it's sold in Asian markets, generally Japan. And that's sort of where our narrative of the story ends, you know, and where our understanding of herring as a resource and as an export ends is, you know, we know it goes to Asia, but we don't really know what happens to it once it's there.
Rose says there's some evidence that herring is declining in popularity in Japan.
So the big question is, you know, if it isn't as popular and we are continuing to export it, you know, where's it going? Who's buying it?
She'll be traveling in Tokyo and throughout the Hokkaido region to learn more about the industry and culture surrounding herring in Japan. It's a long-awaited trip. Rose was originally scheduled to travel in May of 2020, but there's a silver lining in the four-year delay. She met Dr. Shingo Hamada, an anthropologist who studies herring in Japan, and he's now accompanying her as a guide and translator.
And I'm really excited for that opportunity. And had COVID not happened, I may not have met him in time to make this happen.
The project is funded by the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism, a project of the Atwood Foundation. Baranoff Elementary School in Sitka has a new name. The Sitka School Board voted unanimously on Thursday to make the change, culminating a lengthy discussion on a different yet related topic, the need to make cultural education a more immersive experience in Sitka for everyone. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
9 years after the issue was first brought before the Sitka School Board, the time to change the name of Baranoff Elementary came at just after 10 p.m.
It has been moved and seconded to select Hoots Elementary School as the new name for Baranoff Elementary School.
That school board president Tristan Gavon putting the question on the table, where it was adopted unanimously with little discussion from either the board or the 10 or so members of the public who waited out the long meeting at the Sheetkaquan Nakahiti, Sitka's community tribal house. Hoots, by the way, means brown bear, and the raspy H sound at the beginning of the word is represented with an X. The person who spearheaded the committee meetings and community surveys that led to the name change was former board president Blossom Teal Olson. Teal Olson left the school board 10 months ago, but stayed engaged with this project because she may have been the only person who could bring the name change about. Alaska native, yet not Tlingit, Teal Olson steered past the cultural conflict that led to the defeat of a previous name change 2 years ago. She complimented everyone who helped and their bravery for moving forward when it may have been easier to stop.
It hasn't been an easy road, and I think that there was a point where we were thinking maybe we should table it and keep it on the table.
The soft landing for the school name change was in part because of the lengthy discussion that preceded it. Every year, the Sitka School District reviews an impact report from the Cultural Department, plus holds a public hearing on its federally funded cultural education program called SNEP, or the Sitka Native Education Program. SNEP is widely recognized as having been critical to incorporating traditional culture into Sitka's school curricula, but there was a distinct change in tone at this year's hearing, that the district, the community, was not going far enough. Tlingit cultural education still feels like an adjunct to conventional Western education, and the language itself remains in decline. Robbie Littlefield has taught Tlingit in Sitka since 1985. She quoted a paper from Dr. Lance Twitchell arguing that the Tlingit language needs to become more central to the experience of living in Sitka, more normal.
Normalizing means that the language is seen and it's heard by everybody, so that seeing and hearing the language is commonplace. One of the things that tends to happen with indigenous languages after generations of language suppression is that the language becomes foreign in its own place and even to its own people. The result is a distorted sense of what was normal, so that it seems normal to expect to hear only English everywhere.
Littlefield was seconded by David Kanosh, a Sitka resident and one of 30 fluent speakers of Tlingit in southeast Alaska. Kanosh was educated in the Sitka school system, learned French, Japanese, Spanish, and studied the classics. He would not replace any of this, but supplement it.
What I say is that we should incorporate more of our language, our culture, into the system. Just as my life was enriched by the works of William Shakespeare, by the epic sagas of the Scandinavians, the ancient Greeks and Romans, their myths, they enriched my life. Now, learn of us. We are still here.
Kanosh was not necessarily arguing for a radical change. A frequent traveler to Hawaii, he remembers visiting that state when there were only a couple of hundred native speakers remaining. Hawaii has made the effort to normalize language, and Kanosh said it was evident on his last trip.
And over the intercom in the airport, you could hear announcements being made in the Hawaiian language. And the tourist industry there said that they get more people that come there because they feel like they're leaving and visiting a foreign country without having to get a passport, thus enriching their economy. Why can we not normalize the Tlingit language here as well? Give us that chance, and we'll show you what we as a people can do.
The kind of immersion suggested by Kanosh and Littlefield is not untested. Pauline Duncan, a retired first grade teacher at the elementary school, formerly known as Baranoff, had a popular dual education program in her classroom, incorporating lessons in both Tlingit and English. She told the board about one of her students, a boy named Ben.
One day he came to school and he said to me, "Mrs. Duncan, do you know that I am Tlingit now?" And I said, "No, when did that happen?" He said, "I don't know, it just happened." And I told my mom last night that, "Mom, come here. I just turned Tlingit." And she said, "Oh, that's nice. But just to show you that at that level, how a teacher can make an impact."
The school board took no official action on the hearing, but the discussion certainly cleared the path for renaming Baranoff Elementary. Board member Phil Burdick said that Sitka was poised to embrace a richer and more immersive cultural experience. "What's stopping us," he asked, "from incorporating all of the knowledge that we have together?" Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska House passed a bill yesterday that would reduce the down payments necessary to qualify for state-backed mortgage loans. Current law prohibits the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation from making loans worth more than 95% of the value of a single-family home. The bill, proposed by Governor Mike Dunleavy, would remove that restriction. The corporation told lawmakers that change would allow its board to reduce the required down payment from 5% to 3%. Representative Dan Sadler, an Eagle River Republican and the House Majority Leader, said the bill would help Alaskans struggling to afford a home.
Home ownership is the first big step towards financial security and long-term financial health for Americans and Alaskans. You know, inflation has made that first step a doozy.
The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation offers loans through partner banks across the state. Reducing the required down payment would allow the state-backed housing lender to better compete with federal mortgage giants Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which offer several 3% down payment options. Anchorage Democratic Representative Genevieve Mina said she hoped the bill would make home ownership more realistic for younger Alaskans.
There are a lot of folks, especially in my generation, who don't think that they'll be able to buy a house because they can't afford the mortgage, because they can't afford the 20% down. That's not the only path to home ownership, and empowering AHFC to have more assistance for all folks will be really helpful in helping to promote home buying and also to invigorate our housing market.
The bill is one of a few efforts from Dunleavy this session aimed at lowering the cost of housing. Another, included in the governor's capital budget, would create a down payment assistance program aimed at recent college or technical school graduates. Homeowners would have to stay in their home for 5 years to receive the full $20,000 in assistance. The bill passed the House by a vote of 39-1, with only Wasilla Republican Representative David Eastman voting no. It now heads to the Senate. Taking a look at the community calendar. The deadline to register for Braveheart Volunteers' free bereavement retreat is Tuesday, March 12th. Registration for Explorers 2.0 after-school program for first graders to be held at 2:45 to 4 p.m. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, March 19th through April 10th, is now open. Registration is now open for spring Zumba fitness for those age 55 and up at recreation@cityofsitka.com or by calling 907-747-4031. Sitka Emblem Club number 142 holds its annual Fish and Chips Scholarship Fundraiser today at 6 p.m. at the Elks Lodge. Sitka Pride hosts a potluck for LGBTQ plus community members and allies at 6 p.m. today at the Sea House. And the Sitka Historical Society and Museum holds a wine tasting and art exhibit, From Our Vault, Sitka Treasures on Campus, at 7 p.m. today at Harrigan Centennial Hall. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.